Last time, anybody remember what we were doing last time? Kevin? Martin? The word mandate. Remember the word mandate? Yes, okay. So we're just going to refer to the mandate because last couple of weeks we've been talking about a word that was given to the church a few years ago, and we're just sort of looking at that and certain aspects of that. And last time we looked at John the Baptist, didn't we? And we saw how John the Baptist's mandate, if you like, called it a mandate, but his job was to introduce Jesus. He said, I must become less and less and he must become more and more, didn't he? And the one who is coming is greater, and I'm not unworthy to untie the thongs of his sandals, I think he said something like that. Yeah, and people were asking, who are you? You know, they wondered who John the Baptist were. Are you the one to come? And he said, and that's when he said, you know, it's not me, it's Jesus who is the one to come, you know, and the Messiah. And we have a mandate, a bit like John the Baptist. This is what the word that was said to us, spoken over to us a few years back. And to help to open up Shrewsbury, and I'm sure there are other churches that are doing that as well. But you know, to focus on one thing, you can do 101 other things, 1,001 other things, you know, and you can spread yourself so thinly. That's what we were saying. But if God tells you to do one thing, that is the most important thing, and it's the most important thing that mustn't be left undone. And so that was what we looked at last time, something on John the Baptist. And we're going to look this week at another part of that mandate that was given, that word. And I'd like to focus on humility. We got it up there. I've got one of these little machines which you can move from one slide to another. Humility. Yeah. Humility is so often mentioned, especially, well, in both Old Testament and New Testament, really. It's very important. Humility is very important. And I just wanted to show you first an extract from this word that was given to us. I think it was 2016, 2017, just to remind ourselves. And we looked at some of it. We looked at some of this word the other week. And this is what he said, what was spoken over us. Now, hang on. I've got to turn it on first. It would help. Yeah, turned it on. Sorry? Oh, right, yeah. No, okay. Can you do it for me? Or maybe it's that one. Okay, there it is. Thank you. Okay, extract from the storehouse mandate. All right, so this is just a small part of it. And I'm going to read this out to you, okay? What was said, there's a real grace. I mean, this was a prophetic word, all right? So, there's a real grace on you as a people. A spirit of humility is on you. That's a foundation. The reason why most people come a cropper when they want to do something in God is because they fall foul of pride somewhere. Humility in the New Testament is normally placed in the context of warfare. The devil goes about us as a prowling lion. Therefore, humble yourself, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And not realize how important you are. Okay, yes. So that's a bit on humility. It's continued. So if we go to the next one. Yeah, so it continued. He continued by saying, no, humility is the biggest protection cloak God has ever given us. Interesting to think of it like that, isn't it? Like humility as a protection cloak. It's like an invisibility cloak. The devil can't recognize it when he sees it. It's an alien concept to him. Pride he recognizes straight away. Makes one a target very quickly. There's a real beautiful spirit of humility on you. And that is what gives you a real grace to declare some advances. Okay, so that's not a reason to get proud, because there's a spirit of humility on us, if you forgive the pun. But humility is described as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. But we have to humble ourselves first. When we first met Jesus, I mean, we had to humble ourselves first, didn't we? That was the important thing, to humble yourself. Because humility enables God to act. And I'll just go on to the next text there. In James, the book of James, 4, verse 7 to 10. Just putting that into context. James was addressing the church there and saying that there were, you know, people were sort of backbiting, gossiping and having a go at each other. And that can come as a result of pride, you know, factions and so on. And so he was exhorting the people to humble themselves. So he was saying, so humble yourselves before God. That's the first thing. Humble yourselves before God. That's what we have to do every time we come to God. We have to humble ourselves before him. Every time. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So notice the order there. First humble yourself before God and then resist, because you can only resist the devil in a sense in his strength. So we need to humble ourselves to be in the strength of the Lord to resist the devil. Because if we try and resist the devil in our own strength, then what we resist tends to persist, I find. What we resist persists. Okay, we don't want that. So humble yourselves before God. One of the other versions said submit to God, submit yourselves to God. I quite like humble yourselves to God, because I think that's more specific. So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Flee, not just stand there and say nothing, he'll actually run away. That's what fleeing is. It's like he has to escape from you because you have the Holy Spirit within you and the humility of God in you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. I like that. So how do you come close to God? You come close to God by humbling yourself first. And because God can speak to you in your humility, he can't speak to pride. As we see a bit later, I think I've said it later, that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And it's interesting how humility and grace are linked, really. Wash your hands, you sinners. So remember he was talking to the dispersion, wasn't he? The Jews of the dispersion. James was here. Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts. For your loyalty is divided between God and the world. So it takes humility to come to God and say, yes, maybe my loyalty has been divided between the world and between you, Lord. You know, I'm not 100% for you. Some of us have, well, I'm sure we have to come to God every day with that kind of, because it's by human nature, isn't it, the way we are. So let's not our loyalty be divided between God and the world. Purify your hearts, wash your hands. Just come to the Lord in humility and believe that he will do that. Moving on to the next bit. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. That's quite strong, isn't it? Sorrow and deep grief. He's talking about, you know, this... because the situation they've been in, they've been arguing with each other, as I'd said, and there've been factions there. So he was basically saying, let there be sorrow and deep grief about, let there be repentance, basically. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Initially, anyway, about, you know, the sin, you know. But then he says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up in honour. So in other words, forget all that, backbiting and everything else. You know, be sorry about that, you know, and so on. But then humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up in honour. It says in a few places, God opposes the proud but exalts the humble. Okay? In fact, that is the next, that is my next verse. Go on to that, yeah. God opposes proud people. When it's put like that, he actually opposes proud people. But gives his grace freely to the humble. That's what I was saying about humility and grace being linked. The unmerited favour of God is the grace of God, isn't it? So you come in humility before God and you receive what you don't deserve. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. And he gives it freely. I like that. And we can see that in 1 Peter 5:5 and in Proverbs. And I'm just making give a quote from Paul now, who expressed this humility, in fact, in Ephesians here. I consider myself less than the very lowest of God's people. That's interesting. If he really meant that, that is very humble. I consider myself less than the very lowest of God's people. Yet he gave me such grace. I like that too. Even though I'm very low, maybe the lowest, maybe we consider ourselves the lowest of the low sometimes. And yet, he gives us such grace. Not just a little bit of grace, but he's generous with his grace. And grace is so important. It's so important. Sometimes I think we put it to one side like the Galatians did. And we really try and approach God with our own works and our own efforts and self-effort. And the Apostle Paul had a lot to say about that. Especially in Galatians and Romans. He enabled me to preach the gospel because of his grace. He enabled me to preach the gospel to the Gentile nations, telling them of the immense riches of Christ. That's a lovely word, immense. I love that word. What does immense mean? I'll ask one of the children. Do you know what immense means? Yeah. Yeah, very, very, very big. Yeah, immense. It's like you like to get immense Christmas presents or immense birthday presents. Or maybe I'll have an immense meal on Father's Day. Who knows? Okay, so immense riches of Christ. Immense riches. That's fantastic. Yeah. God is generous. And he gave it all through his grace. Immense riches which we don't deserve. But we have to be humble to come before God to receive that and not proud. Jesus talked about the humble and the proud and the people who are honoured. I think yesterday I heard about the King's Birthday's honours list. Yeah, that comes around now, doesn't it? And they named all these people, you know, and you think, oh wow, they've really made their mark in life. They've really done well, you know. But in fact, and some of them will, and some of them might be believers. Who knows? I don't know. But the point is, you know, at that time, maybe on Judgment Day, he said to his disciples, and you will see, Jesus said to his disciples, you will see that those considered to be the most humble now will be honoured then. Okay, he lifts up, he exalts the humble. And those regarded as the most important now, we can think of people that we regard as the most important. We're not judging them, but there are some people who we regard as important. They will be the least significant then. You know, imagine some really famous stars or whatever. It's like things are turned the other way up. So they will be the least significant then. But we're not making judgments here, but that's what Jesus said. Luke 13:30. And a very good illustration, one of the parables, is the Pharisee and the tax collector. Jesus, one of Jesus' parables. Luke 18. And he used this parable to illustrate how important humility was, or is. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, because the Pharisees were like that, of course, weren't they? The religious people at the time. the ones who followed the law and thought that they were doing very well. Thank you very much. Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And we know all about tax collectors at the time, that they were very despised, you know, by the Jewish people, because they took some of the money themselves, some of the money they collected with inflated taxes. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed. Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like the other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get. Sometimes we have to be careful not to be pleased about our performance, you know, as Christians. Oh yeah, I tithe, I do this, I do that. Everything is through grace and humility. You know, and if we're coming from a point of view of pride, that is coming from the wrong place. The tax collector, on the other hand, recognised his need for God. And that is the key thing, to recognise how much we need the Lord. Okay, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Interesting thing. If you consider that in today's world, you know, a religious person, when I say religious, a bit, you know, a pharisaical religious person, proud of their performance and doing the right things with their Christian life. Compare that to somebody who comes to God asking for his mercy. You know, maybe somebody who isn't a Christian but just becoming a Christian, asking God for mercy, they're closer to God. God will listen to them more than the proud one. I just want to sort of refer to a passage from Paul in Corinthians now, because this is related to humility, about God's power being made perfect in weakness. Love this passage. 2 Corinthians 12. This was the Apostle Paul speaking about, you know, his experiences and about how they led him to be humble. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, that means like proud, doesn't it? I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Now, thorn in the flesh, some people say that was a sickness, that some people don't like to think of Christians as sick or whatever. Some people think it was a person or some demonic spirit or something speaking to him to torment me. But whatever it was, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So it takes humility to recognise our weaknesses and to recognise that God can work through our weaknesses. This is all linked in with the grace of God, the favour. So God said to him, my grace, my unmerited favour that I'm giving you, that's enough for you in this situation. Some of us, we might have thorn in fleshes. Did I say that right? Thorns in the flesh, sorry. Thorns in the flesh. Some of us might have that. Whatever your thorn in the flesh might be, I won't go into that, but, you know, something maybe that's irritating us, and I'll just get rid of this and I'll go on with God. And God says, no, you're going to go on with me with it. Doesn't always take it away. Certainly didn't with Paul anyway. And why? Because he doesn't want us to get too proud. And he wants us to rely on him. Because his power is made perfect in weakness. And that weakness can be anything, really. God can work through your weaknesses. Think about what your weaknesses are. And that's where you can find strength in God, as you rely on him, as you humble yourself and come to him. So what does Paul say after that? He says, Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. Not about what you can do well, but about his weaknesses. Why? So that Christ's power may rest on me. Hallelujah. Well, I want Christ's power to rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight. Now, this is quite radical. I delight in weaknesses. Again, it's turned up the other way, isn't it? Topsy-turvy. I delight in weaknesses. I delight in insults. If somebody insulted you for Christ, you know, because you're a Christian, do you delight in that? Because Paul did. He delighted in insults. That's what he said. I delight in persecutions. Well, maybe our persecutions are mild compared to what Paul's were, but I delight in difficulties. I don't know about you, but my difficulties that I have, sometimes my attitude isn't very Christian. You know, I'm just talking about little things at home, little irritations, you know, like the cat jumping on you at night time and waking you up. That's the first thing that comes to mind, because that happened last night. Or, you know, just things that don't go well, little things every day, when you're driving, you know, having to stop at a red traffic light. Just enjoy the moment. Sometimes, you know, what's the point? What's the point of getting uptight about that? Everybody's in a rush these days. But that can be a weakness, our impatience. But coming to the Lord, coming to Jesus in humility, that is where my strength is. Lord, I can't do this, but you can. I can't produce patience, but you can, because that's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. I can't produce spiritual strength, but you can. I can't rely on myself in situations, but thank you, Lord, that you uphold me with your glorious right hand, as it says. So I'm strong then, simply because of my faith in him, not in myself. I'm just going to read a bit of that from the truth for today. This is, I'll just finish with this. The truth for today, this is a book written by Pastor Colin Urquhart. Some of you may have, probably a lot of you have heard of him. The Letters of the New Testament. I love this because it's personalised. So it's like God speaking to you. These are the epistles and the letters in the New Testament. And I've been reading this week, and it makes a tremendous difference. So anyway, that's where it's from, and I'll just read it to you. So this is Paul speaking. It's the same passage, but as though God is speaking. You know, it's God speaking, not Paul. My grace is always sufficient to meet your needs, and my power is revealed more perfectly through weakness, not pride. This is why you can be happy to boast about your weaknesses. Boast about your weaknesses. For then my power will work through you. Yes, for Christ's sake, you can even delight in being so weak. Well, can you? Yes, you can delight in being so weak. In suffering rejection. He's saying you can delight in that. I can only do that by the power of God. And hardships, in being persecuted and having to face so many difficulties. We remember with the Apostle Paul that he listed a lot of these difficulties in Corinthians about being shipwrecked and about being beaten and all that kind of stuff. For the more you are aware of your own weakness, the more you will depend on my strength. That's what the Lord wants. So like Jesus, regard yourself as nothing in yourself. I've added this bit, but it's further on in that passage. Like Jesus, regard yourself as nothing in yourself, yet rich in Christ. Isn't that fantastic? That's why Jesus is so important to us. Because we can be rich. Immense riches. Immense. Very big. Yeah. Immense riches in Christ. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Jesus lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. He said, I do not set aside God's grace. In other words, I don't try hard in my own strength. And he was talking to the Galatians who, you know, he said that it's like they had a spell put on them, you know, because they'd been listening to the legalists and started thinking they had to please Christ by following the law. But let's not set aside God's grace. Let's come to God humbly. Yeah? So I'm just going to pray. And Lord, we thank you for everybody here today, Lord. I thank you for this wonderful... Well, I thank you for these wonderful words like immense riches, these wonderful phrases. Mm. We've been given immense riches in Christ. And Lord, help us. We don't want to become proud. Help us to be aware of our weaknesses, Lord. Help us to even delight in our weaknesses, because the Apostle Paul said it must be all right. He said he delighted in weaknesses, in hardships and in persecutions. Not that we're looking for those, Lord. We aren't looking for them. But when they come along, Lord, we know how important it is to be humble and depend on you, Lord Jesus. So I pray, Lord, this week, wherever we're coming from, wherever we're going, whatever we're doing, Lord, thank you, Jesus, for not giving up on us. Thank you, Lord, sometimes we do get proud. But thank you, Lord, for putting us right when we do get proud. And thank you that you don't remove things so that we do become humble to you and approach you and know and see the benefits of your grace, which is so much more important. I thank you for the mandate on this church, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we will go on in that and grow in that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.